to you by Sean Porter Promotions.
What if?
What? That's a serious question.
What if he can wait?
What if
he like, I ain't ready to play right now?
Yeah.
Nah. Matter of fact, whatever team your son playing on, we're going to play for it.
Let's get into that real quick. Hey, Showtime Sean PN with two T's. Let's get into that real quick.
Mm-hmm.
We both have football backgrounds. We both have hard, quote unquote, hard upbringings, fathers who were very stern, very structured.
My dad was heartless, man. You know,
your dad was just heartless. My dad had structure.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, you're right. Hey, shout out to my dad. I never heard of him breaking down like
that. Right.
Hey, my dad's passed away. My dad had no structure.
He just had rhyme. He had no reason.
Be up at 5 a.m. For what? Figure out something.
Oh, hold on.
Shout out to your dad,
yeah,
man.
So he would have you up at 5. Because I know you told me the story. Yeah. He would have you up at 5, but for no.
Oh, go
he had the
out
rhyme, but no
go
reason.
Go figure out something to do, yeah.
He had nothing for you to do. So, that being said, of course, me as a parent, I have a 6-year-old, 3-year-old, and a newborn at the house. The 3-year-old almost 4. So my thing is, I want with my kid what I didn't get. So I'm very quick to talk to my kids, and I'm very quick to make sure that I want my kids comfortable talking to me. I know your boy. He just turned 3.
And he's 2.
Just turned 2. God, dog. Just turned 2, so you know what I mean? Like,
that's my, but yo, what
but you
doing?
Gotta give me the real though, because if y'all go back like an episode or two, Ant was talking about how you allow cussing in your house to
I didn't say, not me and the mom.
No,
watching something, it say about 5 cuss words. I'm like, okay, that's too much.
Yeah, let's turn it off.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but then nobody's just in the house, like you know,
no. Hey, no, nah, we don't. No. Nah. Yeah. Like, now, I used to play video games. I used to cuss, and I'd be like, "Dang, man." So, it's you, Sean.
I don't even know what that say. So there's a reflection on it. By the way,
your mic is rubbing all on the shirt. Put it on the outside. There you go.
I could have did it.
Oh, okay. But yeah, no. There's no cussing around him. I don't allow that. But if TV's on, most time he's not paying attention. 90% of the time, we watching what he want to watch. That's the other thing.
Of course. So let's get to it, though, until we got a guest coming on that's going to join us for a majority of the show.
He's all about his kid, too.
The entire show. And, maybe we'll get his perspective as well. To the point of, I'm training kids on Saturdays, and I go to the workout sessions on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and they always want to know, where's your 6-year-old? He don't run the box. Oh, and my thing is, listen, I'll give him another year or two before. And if he's not into something, come on, Dave, we got to go to the gym. We got to do something. You know what I mean? And if anything, you know, maybe spark some sort of interest. But for the most part, I'm not really interested in forcing my kids to do things. Not that my dad, I want to go on record too, not that my dad ever forced me to box, but just I'm not going to say, here, do this. This is what you're going to do. You know what I mean? But for you,
no. The football is not a forced thing. If you serious about it, when we start something, we don't finish it. So if we going, baby, ain't no quitting.
This I think our situations are a little, because I can't even make that excuse for any other athletes whose sons don't play sport. But for the sake of words, my wife's an athlete, so our boys they're gonna have coordination, athleticism. The list goes on. So do something with it. You know your boy gonna be big.
Yeah.
So it's like, I already know your mom says you're not gonna be big for no reason.
Yeah, you can't waste this. Shout out to your uncle. Your uncle 7 foot. He over in Fisher. Shout out to my brother.
What if he wasted though?
I mean, if he wasted, just be productive to
life, man. World.
Look, I mean, look at his dad. Shout out Naeem. Look at his dad. I mean, I own a plumbing company. I know. People's like, maybe you can give it to your son.
Oh,
he ain't gonna want to do that.
Shout out to you.
Yeah, he ain't gonna want to do that. Yeah. So, whatever we do, we doing 100%, turning 10%.
Yeah.
I think where you coming from is we want to be like our parents, but with structure, hard, but at the same time, love.
Yes, sir.
Because it was hard. Like I tell people all the time, my dad told me he loved me on his deathbed. I'm like,
yeah.
All these years.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I get it. Once I was like 20, 25, 30, I get what you was doing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah, he ain't know what he's doing.
My thing is, and then we'll get Naeem on, but my thing is, I'm not letting you make any decision on your own. Mm-hmm. And this is why I just told Diggy, 6-year-old, the other day, like, you're learning how to make decisions. Mm-hmm. I'm teaching you how to make decisions. At some point, you're going to want to make decisions on your own, but that's not happening now. And I think that that's kind of the separation with the generations. I think our generation, when we were growing up, our parents, they kind of learned from their parents. And their parents were so, you know, by the book and, you know, list goes on. I think, you know, the leniency that we wanted, you know, I think that we're definitely find our way with our kids. But nonetheless, I'll tell you, like, reason why that was brought into this episode was... I'm looking at you and I'm like, I know how big your child is going to be.
Yeah.
And you hyped about him playing football at 7-8 years old.
Yeah.
But not just football.
Oh, we're doing something. We're doing
tackle football. No,
tackle
at 10.
Tackle at
10. Oh, 10.
Yeah.
I started at 8.
Come on, man. I got to be a little soft.
He ain't gonna make the weight limit.
No,
he. So there's
that's
that.
The other thing.
So there's
and
that.
We head hunting. Okay, all y'all little kids out there, kid head hunting. You can't. They can't kick him out the game. Tell you what, high school, the college.
I don't know.
So we gonna take advantage of it, baby. We head hunting.
Hey, yo, listen, I was too smooth.
Hey, I ain't got worried about a CTE. I'll be gone by then.
Oh man,
we just get cash, baby.
With that, at some point we always get to death with two T's. But yo, let's bring in Naeem Lynn, world renowned comedian, great friend of the podcast.
Hey, another person that's all about his kid. I give Naeem props. You know I am, Sean. We on the road. I'm like, Sean, I got to get home. I'm FaceTiming my kid. My man, a shout out to him, man. I respect dads like that. My man's all about his daughter, loves his daughter, and I respect that. My man be about, I got to make time to get to my daughter. Like, my son has first swimming class. Shout out to me, you know. I had to get up. I'm the only black parent up in there, in the water. I know they probably think I couldn't swim. I had to show them.
You had the tank top on? You had the wife beater
on? No, I just had my...
T-shirt on?
I had my water shirt on.
Oh, okay.
Don't play me.
Okay.
But I'm trying to make it to stuff like that because, you know, our parents, I don't know how Naeem parents was, but they felt like, whatever.
Nah, talk to us real quick. We kind of, this episode, we're going to start about family.
Yeah.
We're going to start about parenting with this episode, but kind of, you know, talk to us. Why is being there for your daughter, like, how are you so conscious to, you know, being there for your daughter?
Well, first, I want to tell Ant that I love him since ain't nobody told him his whole life. I love you, man.
Hey, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, it's overrated when you hear it every day. You know, it don't mean nothing to you.
Oh, for real?
Yes.
He said.
I'm like, oh, okay. He like, okay, all right, cool.
He said, you ain't missing that. That's silly.
Okay.
If you hear it every day, it doesn't mean nothing. If you hear it sometimes, and it probably, like in important times, it probably means the most.
Uh-huh.
But for me, it was normal. So, you know, I don't want you to feel bad about not hearing it till he dies.
Forget that fool. We living good now. He left.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to answer your question, man, my daughter is everything to me. I waited a long time before I had a child. I had my daughter at 37, and you know, she's a blessing, bro. For a person like me who deals with depression and all that stuff, she really gives me something to smile about every day.
Yeah.
So. And I love her as hard as I can. I just walked in the house a little while ago. From being on the road, I came in, I made breakfast immediately, and now I'm here with you guys. But yeah, I'm gonna spend a lot of time with her this week. I'm about to be gone for like 4 weeks.
Okay, that's what's happening. Let's get to this boxing thing, man. I know our audience sometimes they get a little impatient. They want to get right to the boxing. Go ahead.
Hey, Naeem, we're gonna change it up a little bit. Hey, man, we got something, Hafey. This is where we're going. We got something today.
Okay.
Got something today, man.
Get to it.
You know, we got a guy, man. He was 31-4 with one draw. He had a 55% KO percentage. Let's see. What else? He was 2-1 in Vegas. My man going into the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Sean Porter. Made it in there. Nah, like you knocked somebody out once? Nigga, I don't remember.
Nah, he had a lot of knockouts. I mean, at least 30% from a headbutt. Yeah.
What'd you knock out? What'd you knock out?
I'm gonna knock
your Oh, okay, my bad. Nah,
Right, Sean, I ain't even know that. I'm like, whose record is he talking about?
I didn't know he was talking about me till I caught the record. But yeah, there was an official announcement, I think on Friday.
Yeah.
The Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame had nominated me this year and first ballot Hall of Famer. So I'm definitely elated and appreciative for the honor of being inducted into Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Is there like an international one or is it just in Nevada?
This is Nevada one.
The Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame, I know that one of the criteria, the part of the criteria to get into the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame is you have to have had a number of fights here or a number of rounds. I think it must have been rounds because you had three fights. I think it's a number of rounds boxed in Las Vegas or in Nevada, but it is technically a international Hall of Fame. It's been around. I think this is year six or year seven. I've been here for 10 years, so this might be like year 8 or 9 for them.
And who else is going in with you?
Right off the top, I don't know anybody else that's going in with me right off of the top.
You might be the first one announced.
I don't know who else is going in right off the top. But the Hall of Fame, I think it's in September.
Yeah.
On a grade system, A through F, what do you give yourself in your accomplishments in your career? How proud of you are you of yourself?
As a professional, I would say, man, that's a really tough question because as a professional boxer, I really didn't have the goals or aspirations that a lot of other boxers have turning pro. So I overachieved in some ways based on what my goals were as a professional boxer. I think as a professional fighter, looking at other fighters, I've had people tell me that I'm getting into the International Boxing Hall of Fame. I'm like, man, I don't know if I get in, I get in. I feel like I haven't done as much as a lot of other professional boxers, maybe B, maybe mid B, in terms of what I feel I've accomplished to be into the Hall of Fame. So, you know, with that being said, I'm definitely, it takes me looking at the fights, and I think that that's what has gotten me into the Hall of Fame. When you take away the accolades, because I'm only a 2-time world champion with both times winning the belt, one successful defense and then losing the very next defense. Both times I was a world champion. But when you look at the fights as a whole, it's like they've become like really iconic performances on both sides of the ring, of course. But I think that along with my style, which is a style that you really just don't see very often. It's very fan friendly, like Ant just said. And I think that it's a style that a lot of others will try to emulate moving forward.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your resume is great. Like we discussed before, all your losses came to undefeated fighters at the time, right?
Wow. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. And you were a 2-time champ in a boxing era that can go down as one of the best eras of all time.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't sell yourself short, bro. I think you celebrate yourself. Sometimes it takes another person to help you realize what you've done. But a lot of times we do things in life and we're not proud of ourselves because we aspire to do so much more.
Yeah.
You got to celebrate those victories, and going into the Hall of Fame is huge, man. So congratulations.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Maybe I will finally do a retirement party that week. So we'll see.
And yeah, you know me, man. You fought like Naeem said. You fought them all. I mean, I don't know if we ever get a guy that just was fighting everybody.
Yeah.
You didn't. I think I don't know your business, but I'm pretty sure you probably lost money just saying, F the business. Let's fight.
Probably.
Let's fight.
Yeah.
That was your mentality.
The thing you see now is a lot of fighters that will push back and they want the percentage to be right and all this and that. And I definitely feel like if they're probably, in retrospect, there were probably a handful of fights that we could have waited an extra week, you know, and things like that. So, but that really wasn't my MO, man. My thing was get in the ring. The money's going to be the money. And you do what you got to do, and everything will increase. And I even think that at this point, being retired now, for it'll be 3 years this year in September or in November, it'll be 3 years. I feel like my profile has still continued to increase. So,
and you know, the proudest moment I ever was when you won the WBC title, because I know how important that title was for you.
Yeah,
and that, you know, that's the title when you come to boxing. I know how much you went through.
Yeah.
In the ring, outside the ring in that moment, and to come through and get the world title.
Yeah.
That was one of the most prouds I ever been with of you, you know. Yeah, probably all time, but stuff like that, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, you never got washed. You every fight you lost, you was in it.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. And
people get washed.
That's not, man. That ain't in my DNA, man. And
getting washed?
Yeah, so, you know, I think saying all that to kind of bring it back to the kids, you know what I mean? I think the number one thing for us is our kids don't get washed in life, you know?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That's the number one, you know, like kind of, to bring it all the way back. At the end of the day, pick what you want to do. You got to do something, but whatever it is you're doing, be successful in it. And, you know, don't accept anything less. So, appreciate you, Naeem.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we had to show you some love, man, for the show start.
Listen, so I wanted you to come on now because we were having a little bit of a back and forth before the main event started this past Friday. And I ended up posting that conversation. The only reason being was I do round by round scores. I kind of get my commentary out, you know, that whole thing. And we didn't have very much to get into as the main event was going on. And so I was like, you know what? Let me get Naeem to come on. Let me get his perspective on not only the main event, Ngannou and Joshua this past weekend, but a couple of fights moving forward as well. We kind of been communicating a little bit more this weekend too. So let me get your thoughts on Joseph Parker in the fight with Big Bang, but even moving forward for Parker.
Man, Parker looked great. He got sat down twice, and you can see he was hurt, but he got back up and he figured it out. The funny thing is, after Parker fought Joshua, Big Bang was talking shit like, not Joshua, before Wilder. Yeah. He was like, man, I wasn't impressed with either one of them. You know, I didn't see nothing. And then he went in there and he got a boxing lesson. And then he had the nerve to react like he should have won.
he had two knockdowns now.
That's it. What else did he do?
Yeah, he got washed every other round.
He boxed circles around him, man. Parker looked good.
Yeah.
He looked good. And he could just be, how old is he? Is he in late 30s?
Somewhere around there.
I know Big Bang is 40, and I kind of wanted to bring that up as well. We always say that the heavyweights, they age later than any other weight class.
32.
And Joseph Parker is 32.
In his prime.
But it's just, I felt like we saw age on Friday night on the side of Big Bang.
I've only seen him fight like twice. So I can't say if it was an age thing from what I've seen. I just seen a guy that would he just got outclassed, you know. Big Bang, he's waiting for that Big Bang. And you know, sometimes people don't get up from it, but Parker, he stood in there like a champ, and that's two big wins for him.
Yeah.
So he need to be like second or third in the division right now.
Yeah. Zhili has really good boxing style. He can punch in combination, uses his jab. It just, there wasn't a lot coming from him the other night. And that's why I said, man, I think it's his age. But for someone who has not watched Zhili, someone who has, myself, I thought he was going to get the job done. And especially after the first knockdown, it was all right, cool. It's only a matter of time before his work rate does increase and he does what he what I've known him to do in the past, and just didn't see it on fight night from him. I think it's a, I think he's about done. I really, you know, you, he's got two losses now, I believe, and they're both like lackluster performances. They're not what he didn't get washed, and lost. Like he just looked very ordinary and lost now twice. And even though he was on a winning streak, a really good winning streak nonetheless, I think he's about done. I think Bang is about done.
You think that, you think he's going to retire? You think that he just don't have a future?
I think that he doesn't have a future. I think that he's going to be now looked at as the B-side, as the gatekeeper of the heavyweight division.
I think he'll beat Joshua.
See? Really?
I think he'll beat Joshua.
Damn.
Okay.
Because
you talking about Big Bang, right?
Yeah.
You talking about Anthony Joshua?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Because Joseph Parker moved around a lot. He was moving. He was, you know, just was. He was. It was a great boxing exhibition.
Absolutely.
And I think that Anthony Joshua is a little bit more. You know, he doesn't move as much, and he got some power, but we know his chin is suspect. And I think if he fought somebody like him, he would lose. I think Big Bang could beat Joshua. Okay. Even though Joshua, I mean, looked good, but he looked good against somebody he was supposed to look good against.
So Zili needs somebody in front of him, which makes a lot of sense. And again, to your point, Joseph Parker is not an easy, he's not an easy knight. He a lot of movement, and I love what Andy Lee is doing with him too. A lot of feints. That's something that it's a lost art in boxing. You don't see a lot of fighters feigning. And basically what that does is that keeps the opposition off balance, off rhythm, off tempo. And, you know, I mean, I thought, to your point, Joseph Parker, like, just top to bottom, magnificent.
And Joseph Parker also spends time sparring with Tyson Fury.
With Fury,
he's been training with Fury for the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
But he says, Joshua, I want to see Wilder and Big Bang. Somebody gets banged that night.
Ooh.
I think Wilder might get knocked out.
You think Wilder would get knocked out by Zili Zone?
Somebody get knocked out. That's all I gotta say. And somebody getting knocked out.
Wilder, I think he would have a hard time knocking Big Bang out. You see, he got a chin. You know, he was eating all those. I don't know what Joseph Parker's punching power is like, but he was eating all those punches. And Deontay Wilder, now he may be done. And I love Wilder, but, you know, after that ayahuasca, you know, he just in a different mind frame right now.
Yeah.
And he said, he's like, man, I want to get home to my baby smiling after he lost.
Yeah.
Like, it might be over for him.
I just wish Wilder get back to Wilder, man. You know, the other night I watched the Stavern fight.
Oh, wow.
That was the best he ever looked boxing. And he was just kind of doing his thing. Shout out to Malik Scott. I think he's giving him more than he can actually do right now. Mm-hmm. Malik Scott is a pretty good trainer. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Wilder has that in his rep. He's just a knockout artist. Mm. Just let Wilder be Wilder.
Malik Scott took a dive. I can't respect that, brother.
Ooh.
See, that's my guy.
He on record. You know, that's the record.
He said he took
it. He didn't say it.
Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all
you can me. You can rewind that tape a lot of times. And hit. It looks
okay.
Very bad.
Okay. He did have his hands up like this. But let Wilder hit you like that.
Hey, if Wilder hit me on the gloves and my hands are out, I'm sure it would hurt my hands. But I know I would be able to get up if he didn't hit my face.
Now, hey, y'all got this replay in my head because he like flew back.
Remember
the hit.
He like laid
I remember. Down. But why would he take
that's my guy. We got to move away from that.
Yeah, that's my guy too. I can't do that now. That's like somebody talking about you. I can't co-sign that.
Good guy, but he took a dive in that fight. And then you come train the dude that you took a dive from.
But hold up, though. Let's get back to it, though. Joseph Parker, who you want to see him in the ring with?
I'd like to see him, I think. So Fury and Usyk are about to fight, and I think maybe Joshua and Parker should fight, and then the winner fights the winner.
This will be a rematch because they did fight once before, and Joshua was able to get the victory. I'm not sure if it was by a stoppage or not, but I know he beat him last time.
I mean, if Usyk wins, then Joshua's going. He said he wanted the winner. That'll be his third fight with him.
Right. So,
right. You know, that don't really matter. But I think Joseph Parker, he's ready for a title shot. I mean, actually, he probably deserves the winner more than Anthony Joshua does.
He's actually the number one contender for the WBO title, which Usyk has. He's the interim champion right now. So he's in waiting.
Yeah, I think he deserves the winner.
Yeah.
Of Usyk and Fury, and we've never seen him against either. So, I think that makes the most sense. All respect to Anthony Joshua, especially what he just did on Friday night, and I know he had another big win against Aldo Wileen before that. But when you've been in the ring with one guy twice, and we've seen you come up extremely short twice, we're really not interested, especially when we don't. What you think about here before we do Joshua and Ngannou? What do you think about Fury and Usyk?
Man, that's tough.
That's a tough pick fight, man.
Yeah, you know, I think the height could play a difference. Could play like, you know, I would take Fury if he looks good, because he looked bad against Ngannou. So yeah. If he comes out and he's ready, I will pick him because of the height difference.
Like now I say, I think he can use his size and put pressure on him all night long.
Yeah.
And he can box.
It's not a lot of fighters in the world that know how to use the advantage that they have. A lot of fighters give away. There's a clear advantage in the size between these two men. And I think that Tyson Fury knows how to use it to his advantage. It was the only reason that makes me comfortable to say I think Tyson Fury will win it. Outside of that, the work rate of Usyk, the mindset of Usyk, this like no quit attitude, the whole nine. I feel like Usyk got everything it takes to beat Fury. I'm like round by round that size. Mm-hmm. I don't think we see a knockout in this fight.
Nah.
I think it goes to the scorecards, but I feel like Tyson Fury is gonna be able to control it enough to win the fight. And on top of that, I think it'll be a good fight, which wherever way the decision goes, I think it'll make sense. I don't think this one is going to be it's not going to be a hard fight to score. Okay. Usyk fights aren't really hard to score. Like when he scores, he scores. And, you know, so I think, you know, if he's not scoring, we'll see that. And if he's getting scored on, we'll see that as well. I don't think it's going to be a hard fight to really manage in terms of who's winning round by round.
I don't like this two-fight deal thing.
Me neither.
I don't like that. I feel like, you know, if it's a close fight, then, you know, it's up to the boxers. But if it's a close fight, then, yeah, run it back. But if somebody gets dominated, like, you know, Spence and Crawford, I hate that. So you want to see that. But if you're a fan, you want to see that boxer move on to something else.
Well, yeah, when you go back to Big Bang and Joseph Parker, Parker said right after the fight, we're running it right back. And it's like, dang, I think we got a really good first fight. I think we'll get a similar second fight. But you're right. Like, they're running it right back. While we talking about one fighter moving on, it's like we're going to get the same thing again unless somebody says, you know, moves away, you know, get that step-aside money or something like that.
Yeah.
So then what about Joshua and Ngannou, man. I think when the fight started, I think we both, you know, we made our picks. But yeah. I think...
What was y'all picks?
He picked the winner. I didn't.
I ain't gonna lie. I didn't pick the winner.
So, because of how the success Ngannou had against Fury, and me feeling like Anthony Joshua, sometimes his boxing skills are limited, I thought that he would come out and have some success against him. And the first half of that first round, he was doing good. He kept landing the left hook. Sean said he going to hit it. You said a left hook, right.
I saw something in Ngannou's game, and I said Joshua's going to throw a lead left hook and then a right hand, and it's going to set Ngannou down. And not long after that, it was just a straight right hand. He pawed with the jab and then threw the straight right hand. And it came right down the middle and sat down Ngannou.
And then after that, he was done because he was scared then.
Yeah.
Like, he went for every feint. He was too cautious.
Yeah. I think he was shook after the knockdown. And I tried to narrate this a little bit about the fight between, I hate to always go back to this one, but Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence. What I was trying to narrate is like when you get knocked down, there's a lot of different things going on. Especially if you've never been knocked down before. The best of my knowledge, Ngannou has never really been in that position. When you've never been in that position, it's like a lot is going on mentally. You realizing that the whole crowd just seen it. You realizing like, damn, like, how did I just get knocked down?
Embarrassment.
It's embarrassment.
That's number one.
You a little shook. And then on top of that, you know your other guy, you don't know if he think you hurt. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot that goes in through your mind in a matter of seconds when you get knocked down. And so I think that the number one thing a fighter may need to get beyond is the sense, is that question mark. It's a big ass question mark in your face. Did that just happen? You know? And so I feel like that question mark was in Ngannou's face as the round ended and then coming into the second round too.
Yeah, he looked at him after he got knocked down. That's like, he real.
Yeah, yeah.
He real. Have you ever been knocked down and didn't have your legs when you got up?
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me? Have you ever been knocked down and didn't have your legs when you got up?
Yeah, yeah. I told you, Samoan dude.
Damn.
Yeah, Samoan dude. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You ain't had your legs?
Don't fight Samoan.
Oh, what'd it feel like?
Oh, no, I ain't have. Chill out. I ain't say that. I ain't meant that. I ain't meant that side of it.
What'd it feel like?
I don't remember that side
you
of it.
Know you know what you was. Oh, you don't remember.
I don't remember. I ain't say that side of it.
You didn't get checked out?
Nah, just shut the hell up, okay?
Listen, the clothes, though. The clothes. Oh, after the second knockdown, and it's always like you it's two things as an outsider looking at what's going on in the ring. You could be looking at one guy wondering if he's good, and as he's getting up, you looking at the other guy wondering if he knows the other guy ain't good.
Yeah.
You look at the body energy, and I didn't get this excitement from Joshua like, I'm about to close the show. But then my man steps in and just goes overhand right, and it's done. I mean, that was the cleanest. That was beautiful, bro.
Yeah, that was a big right, and he just folded him like one of them lawn chairs at the on the boat.
Yeah,
yeah. Now he did what Tyson Fury was supposed to do.
Yeah.
He didn't play with his food.
Yeah,
it was nice and quick, two rounds. Shout out to Joshua. I didn't see him doing this at all. You would have said Joshua gonna knock him out in two? Hell no. From the Joshua I've been seeing for the last, two or three years, ever since he got knocked out, I didn't see this coming.
So Otto Wallin didn't give you give you enough to say, yo, this is gonna be this is gonna be a back and forth anything.
Well, now I can go.
No?
You know what pissed me off about Joshua? His post-fight speeches. They pissed me off. He got to take the mic out of the guy's hand. He got to walk around, thank the world.
Oh, yeah. He did that?
He took it out.
He always does that.
He got to thank the whole world.
Even when he got knocked out, he did it.
Ugandans who came out.
Hey, Anthony Joshua, Malik Scott, go beat your ass. And you got a gym. Niggas is gonna pull up one day.
but this is what people do. Dan Raphael and Skip Bayless and anybody else, they talk shit. Why can't I talk shit?
Hey, I say the same thing. The boxer be wanna whoop my ass all the time. I'm like, man. So it is what it is.
Part of being the journalist is I'm gonna whip Stephen A. Smith ass when I see him, so it's okay.
You know it's just Black History Month. Y'all ain't gonna let that go?
You say y'all, he don't even know who I am.
Y'all ain't never met?
Nah, I've seen him a couple times. I saw him at Mastro's in November. And I was there, you know, it was my wife's birthday dinner, so I was cool.
Oh,
but
okay.
If I was by myself, I would have stepped to him.
Well, Stephen A. Smith would have whooped your ass in Mastro's.
I would hope nobody's recording it.
You ready for that kind of conflict? That ain't nothing but like that's verbal conflict right there. That's all you gonna get from Stephen A.
And they both can talk.
You keep up with that?
Nah, man. He start using them big words, then you know I gotta step off. I just don't like him.
Man, he nah, it goes farther than that. He has a song for him called Look at the Coon.
No, you don't.
I swear to God. Why do you laugh like that? He about to go play.
He's looking for the demo tape.
He looking for the demo song. I don't know how long I've been listening to their show. He every time they bring him up, he killing him with this song. I never even heard the song until I started watching their show. Just for Stephen A. Smith. This is crazy. I don't know.
You think Stephen A. he working for? Nah, let me.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Deshaun, you still got work to do. He got a TV show already. Okay, so don't. Hey, we ain't Stephen to his levels. Are you about to play it? We don't hear it yet.
You can't hear it.
No, I can't hear it.
I'll send it to you.
I'll let Sean hear it.
I don't think we need it. Yeah, I hear it off air and report back. But
Nah,
you tripping on Jake Paul, this Jake Paul, Mike Tyson announcement?
You said it wasn't going to happen. I'm telling you.
I still don't think
that's
it's
happening. That's what he told me, too.
You're a hater.
Yeah, you're a hater.
I don't think it's happening. I broke it down to you now. I'll break it down to you, too.
Break it down to the people.
Listen, I'm on record, too. When his opponent was walking out to the ring, I looked in dude's face and I was like, yo, he got that face like he know what he's supposed to do tonight. He's supposed to find somewhere on this mat to lay down. And when that perfect punch is thrown, he going to lay down. And
that's what you meant?
That's exactly what I meant.
I thought you meant he knew how to fight.
And I'm not saying from a standpoint of him taking money to take a dive. I just saying this dude look like he know where his job is. He's supposed to find somewhere to lay down on this canvas. Ooh, okay. And when that punch is thrown, he's supposed to lay down. Furthermore, it could be just me looking into things a little too more. I'm watching the ref while the fight is going on. I'm looking at the ref and the ref looks like he's not interested in jumping in and stopping this fight. Cause nobody likes a ref to just jump in and wave off the fight. So the ref looked like he was like, he looking for, I see you getting wailed on, bruh, but it's got to be a good punch for me to jump in here. And I didn't see that. Or excuse me, I didn't, you know, eventually the ref just had to jump in and wave the fight off, right? So okay. After you move past that, it is what it is. The whoever was in the ring interviewing him, what's next? Jake says, well, maybe something more competitive. I thought that this was going to be competitive. I mean, the dude's 15-1, 15-2. I thought this was going to be more than it was. I don't know. I'm like, nah. You're not 5 days, 4 days away from that right there. And you already know what's next. And not only just what's next, but this right here. You gave us no feeling whatsoever that you had something exciting coming next. And for somebody that built, their life is built around getting people excited. You didn't give us no inkling whatsoever that you was getting in the ring with Mike Tyson and you making an announcement 4 days after the fight. That to me don't make sense.
Are we not excited though? Are we not excited?
I'm not excited. And that's why I don't think the fight happening. I think for something like this to happen, it takes more than 4 to 5 days to make something like this happen. And what I'm saying is, I don't think that through the course of him having a fight in Puerto Rico, never mentioned, yeah, we're going to get this bum out of the way, and I got something real exciting for y'all after that. Never said anything like that. And then after the fight, as dry as it ended, as dry as it was, you got to do something to get us excited and get us pumped up. And you didn't know that this fight was on the horizon? I don't think this fight gets made in 4 or 5 days.
Well, he did bring up Canelo after the fight, and he said...
And on top of that, he brought up Canelo.
He said, Mexicans versus Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, I heard that.
I said, how does nigga...
He said, I'm representing Puerto Rico now.
Yeah, he over there fighting in Puerto Rico, so he got to pay taxes.
All that being said, I just don't think the fight's happening. I don't think that... I don't know, man. I think it's a publicity stunt.
I got a question for y'all. Do you think at some point Jake will ever try to work his way up the ranks and actually fight for a real title? Or... you know, go towards that.
I do.
Yeah.
I don't expect this fight to happen for that express purpose. When you're fighting at, like, I think his weight class would be 175.
He's a cruiserweight.
Yeah, he would be a cruiserweight champion. I think he's trying to work his way up to fighting for a cruiserweight championship title. I don't think you take a fight with Mike Tyson whether it's for the money, the shine, the act, I don't know what it's for exactly, but this fight doesn't push you forward towards a world championship title.
Yeah, I mean, I like Jake. I like everything that he stands for, especially after watching his documentary. Completely different than what I expected. You know, he's a solid dude, and he's trying to get those rights and the money and all those things for professional fighters, UFC too. So I would like to see him actually work his way up the ranks. I think he's going to whip Mike Tyson's ass. I do think the fight is going to happen.
Mm. And you think he's going to whip his...
I think he's going to whip Mike Tyson's ass.
Hey, look at the coon. Come on, nah.
Look, man, Mike Tyson is old, bro. He's almost 60 years old. And I know he was Iron Mike back in the day.
Yeah.
Talk about hot box and ayahuasca Mike right now. Mike in a different space. He looked terrible against Roy Jones. They both looked terrible.
They did.
We know he got a puncher's chance, but I don't think he can eat the punches. I don't think he got in him. I think it's gonna be an entertaining fight, and I think Jake gonna win.
Mm. If the fight does happen, I think that Jake will be fighting not to survive, but fighting to win rounds. And people don't understand boxers that box to win rounds. People understand boxers that fight, go back and forth, take chances. I don't think Jake will take any chances in this fight. I think he's going to try to win rounds just to say he beat Mike Tyson. And to me, that's corny.
Okay, if he fight Mike and he knocks Mike out, we need Wilder to go defend our honor. he's our Wakanda right now.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you want to be realistic about it, Mike, there's just too many miles on Mike. That's before you even talk he's about old. His age, huh?
He's old.
That's before you even talk about his age, you know. And you talk about a man like Mike Tyson trying to get ready for, and on top of that, they would probably make this a 10-round fight, something like that, just to make Mike go those rounds and things like that. I mean, I don't see it happening. And it's honestly, for me, it's hard to count out Mike. I think Mike, if the fight happens, this is what I'll say. The fight happens, Mike gives us three great rounds, and the fight ends. If the fight don't end in three rounds, Mike loses.
Okay, let's look at Mike Tyson's last professional fight. When was that? 2006, 2005, something like that.
I think he had one later than that, though. I think Mike lost
to the white boy. That was his last.
His last one.
Kevin McBride in 2005.
2005.
Okay.
Danny McBride in 2005.
Danny.
Kevin.
And Mike was late 30s. Early 40s.
Yeah.
And you talking about a Mike that was, you know, he didn't train that hard. He said he was trying to get a payday, whatever the case may be, he was done. And now you're talking about 20 years later, another white boy that's young, that's in his early 20s.
Gotta be white.
Whatever it is, white boy.
I mean, he still got that old man strength, right? What if he clipped Jake in the first?
I mean, he got a puncher's chance. It could happen. Yeah, but outside of that, I'm a Mike Tyson fan. If he could win, that would be a beautiful thing. It'd be great for all the old people. Yeah. But I just don't see it happen.
I look at the same thing you guys say about Keith Thurman, how he's been on this layoff, and you know, you gotta fight, you gotta find your timing and things like that. We could talk about the puncher's chance that Mike clearly does have, but at the same time, you gotta respect the fact that when you haven't done it at that level in front of people like that, the list goes on. And we even saw it with Roy Jones. You just don't have the timing to have a puncher's chance, you know? So I think for this fight right here with Mike, it's a matter of rushing Jake, reminding Jake of what he never saw. Cause let's be real. Like, Jake never saw the real Mike Tyson. And you remind him of everything that everybody has said about him, and you put fear in Jake's mind, and put fear in Jake's heart and mind. In a matter of two rounds, you might have some success. But outside of that, I don't see the fight happening, though. I hate that we even analyzed it.
let's not forget, Jake Paul has fought against some UFC guys that have power, and they couldn't knock him down. So I'm not saying that they got, huh?
It was the same thing though, timing.
Somebody did hurt him. Somebody buzzed him or hurt him.
Tyrone.
Tyrone? Okay. Yeah.
In the first fight, he did catch him with some. He almost dropped him, but he didn't. And then he ended up getting knocked out. So you talk about young guys.
He almost dropped him, but he didn't.
You talking about young guys that have power that are professional fighters. Yeah, they're MMA, but they got punching power. And he was able to take those punches from guys that are, you know, 20 years younger than Mike Tyson.
Yeah. I don't think it happens. Antonio Tarver wants the alien Bernard Hopkins on the undercard. Are you interested in that?
No. Bernard Hopkins, he taught Tarver a lesson when they fought the first time.
This is what, 15 years later? 20 years later?
I said the first time.
They fought. Look, that was a great fight by Bernard Hopkins. You know what? And I was thinking about this earlier. I feel like you, Bernard Hopkins, and Andre Ward, you guys kind of have not similar styles, but you guys like to mix it up. You know, you're going to make rough house a little bit. You know, you like, it's almost a street fight.
Uh-huh.
And I actually admire that style, especially Andre Ward. Like, Andre Ward was, he had a punching power, but he would mix it up. He would, fight a little dirty sometimes. And
Ward was very clean with
that. Tarver, and I like Tarver, but I don't think they should fight again. I don't think Bernard Hopkins need to be in the ring ever again after that last fight.
When the dude pushed him out the ring?
Hey.
Dude pushed him out the ring.
Joe Smith.
With a punch.
Nah, he pushed him. Fucked up. Shout out to... I'm up for it. Put it on there. Let's see what happens. What the hell? Entertain me. entertain Tarver's me. Idea? Huh?
This is Tarver's idea?
Yeah. And it will be a hell of a build-up, too. They're going to talk more than ever. The build-up would probably be better than the fight.
You want to see the fight?
Well, listen, we had Antonio Tarver in the studio back in January, I believe it was. And he said he still wanted to fight. And he said that this fight specifically is the fight that's been on his mind. That's the interesting thing that I know about fighters. When we get fixated on something and when it's something that we really want, we do just about anything needed, necessary. And when you talk about a fighter that has been out of the ring for as long as both these guys have, when they turn it on for this moment right here, especially Antonio Tarver, we might get a performance from Antonio Tarver that we just really did not expect. Based on, again, him mentally tuning in and turning it all on, you know?
He won his get back. That's probably his most lopsided loss.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we saw that from Andre Berto not too long ago. He got back in the ring against Robert Guerrero. And simply just because he wanted to get back, you know? And it's just one of them things with fighters, man. It's crazy.
B-Hop had a couple of fights that you just, the fight against Tarver, the fight against Kelly Pavlik and Tito.
Yeah.
Those were three fights that you just didn't see him going that way.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, true story. I fell asleep. So I used to spar with Kelly back home in Ohio. I fell asleep during the undercard fights. And they woke me up right before the main event, Kelly and Bernard, right? And so right after the first round ended, and I'm a kid at this point in time, and I'm, you know, there's a bunch of grown men in the room, and I'm a kid, and I looked up at my dad, and I said it loud so that everybody could hear it. I said, if Kelly fight like that, he gonna lose. And at this point in time, Kelly was like at his top.
Yeah.
And so my dad laughed at me. He was like, man, you sleep talking. What are you talking? I said, I know what I'm talking about. If Kelly fought like that, he going to lose. And I saw really quickly what I was able to do with Kelly, because I was an amateur fighter. I was able to do this with Kelly for 2-3 rounds. I couldn't do this with Kelly for 6-7 rounds. He would always catch up to me with the body work and slow me down. The first round, when Bernard moved against Kelly the way that he did, I said, yo, if he fight like that, he gonna lose. I knew a grown man could do what I was able to do for a couple of rounds. If a grown man did it, it was no way you was gonna catch up to him and beat him, you know? And so that's how that fight ended up going.
Yeah, totally outclassed him.
Yeah.
You said sparring. What do you think about, you know, them releasing the tapes with Tank and Devin Haney? Y'all talked about that yet?
You ain't been watching the podcast.
I wasn't here, but we could talk about it.
I didn't like that. It's like, it's unspoken, but it's just something that you just don't do. A lot of times now, especially since phones then came out with the cameras on them, nobody holds their phones up during sparring. If a phone
actually,
been held
I did hear you talk about this. I'm sorry, because you said something about. I did hear you talk about this because you said something about when you spar Pacquiao.
Yeah. So
but how important is sparring though? Because people feel like, oh man, I was sparring, I was working on stuff. That don't mean nothing. But if people have success,
people don't understand that.
Yeah.
People don't understand that. So even when you look at, you say he was 17, like. It's like, so what? He was 17. He was this. He was that. You make all these, you know, the conversation just goes so much further. So that's why you don't hold a camera up in sparring. And if the camera is being held up, you make sure that there's a mutual understanding and respect that goes along with it, and that it doesn't get released. You know, I've had a couple of sessions that have gotten released, and I laugh at it. My dad gets pissed every time he's seen something come out, but I laugh at it because of what you just said. I'm working on something. Or certain things I'm just simply not doing, but the outsiders don't understand that, and they get it misunderstood, you know?
Yeah, and if you got a fight coming up, you definitely want a good sparring partner, somebody that's going to prepare you for your real fight.
Yeah.
So if they have success on you, that's kind of a good thing, isn't it?
No. Yeah, to a degree. I was the kind of guy that at the beginning of a training camp, I was probably 70%. Near the end of the camp, I was 90-95%, you know? So there were things that guys were successful with early in the camp, and it was pushing me, getting me going, getting me ready. And we knew that if you weren't able to capitalize the way you were early in camp, SP on his P's and Q's, he's making it do, you know, making it do what it do. And, you know, so that's also, you know, when you're able to gauge having a good sparring session with someone and you're able to look at how the sparring went later on in camp, you're able to look at the things you've improved on and those sort of things. So, yeah, you're right from that perspective.
Yeah. There's a sparring tape out there where a guy look like he's knocking you from pillar to post. Young kid, you gotta take it back. Young kid, but you literally just working on the what?
Hey,
what?
Hey, nah, I've been working on getting some commentary gigs going for me and Ant. If he ever say pillar to post, I'm muting him the rest of the show. if you ever talk over a highlight reel and say, look, he was getting them from pillar to post. Get cut. You're done.
No, I'm saying there is a tape out there with you and Haney where you literally just working on defense.
Uh-huh.
But it looked like he just working, Sean.
Yeah.
I'm like, and people like, man, look, Sean ain't even that good. I said, bro, if you look, Sean's not even, I think you like, you do a little bit of work.
But I think it's going to do two things. I think number one, it's also helping with the profile of the fight.
Right, that builds the fight.
And when you look at him at 17 and what a lot of people expect him to do against Ryan Garcia, if he in fact does that, what he just did against Regis Prograis, he can do two things. He can look at Ryan and see, I told you I ain't no joke. I told you I ain't that 17-year-old. And now he can look at Tank and say, guess what? I ain't that 17-year-old no more. Let's go. You know what I mean? So I think this might actually help Devin and his dad moving forward in the sport.
Well, you know, Devin is down to fight anybody, it seems. Mm-hmm. Tank, you know, he's talking about people being the draw and who's worth having to fight with, who deserves the fight. And then you fight Frank Martin, who is a you know, a promising talent.
That's a good fight now. That's a good fight.
It's a good fight. It's a good fight. But does he deserve it? And is Frank Martin a draw? He's not.
Frank Martin is not a draw.
Not a draw.
He's not.
And so you want to say, you want to talk about the numbers that that Shakur is doing and the numbers that Devin doing, and do you bring somebody that's never even headlined a fight before?
But he feel like he can carry the card because I'm Tank.
Yeah, he can carry the card against anybody, though.
Yeah.
But don't say that somebody doesn't deserve the fight because they don't have the numbers. You know, we know you're the A-side no matter who you fight. Mm-hmm. We know that. But you could fight Devin Haney and do a 60-40 split or a 65-35. And same thing with Shakur. Everybody is just about that money these days, and it's unfortunate because everybody can get paid.
Kind of goes back to what Ant said about me. You're talking 60-40 splits, so on and so forth. For me, my thing was, how much money are we making? What's my guarantee? What's my purse guarantee? Mm-hmm. And if that's what makes sense at this point in time for this level, so on and so forth, let's do it, you know? And I think a lot, like to your point, a lot of fighters are more so focused on, even when the number is big, I need that 60 to go from 60 to being 50. And it's like, what? I need that 60 to go from being 60 to being 70. What?
I ain't mad at you. Get your money, but
But at the same time, not only are you preventing the fans from getting what they want, you're also preventing this sport from getting to a level that it should be at. And you prevent people from seeing, you're keeping yourself safe. You're keeping yourself out of people seeing you in a hard fight. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna ask you two of this. You know, we always want to see those. There's so much talent at 140 with all those top guys. Tank is who Tank is. And slowly but surely, is Haney and Tank pulling themselves away from Shakur, T.O., and all those guys? And literally, they set up to meet?
I think Tank already did that. I think Devin is basically on his way to doing that.
And they just leaving those guys.
The reason being, though, is, you know, Shakur having an off night. And then, of course, being with Top Rank. T.O. having a couple of off nights. Mm-hmm. You're right. Like I said, we had this conversation before. For 3 or 4 years ago, it was like, who's the best? Who's the best? And now it's like, slowly but surely. But it's the way the world turns, you know? They're supposed to separate themselves. And two are supposed to come out. And then one out of the two. So I think right now, it's Devin Haney and Tank Davis.
I think the talent is still comparable. I think when it comes to popularity, of course, Haney and Tank are separating themselves from the other two. And they are going to be the A side fighting against anybody else. But I still think the talent is there for T.O. He needs somebody that's trying to engage with him to have a really good fight. If somebody tries to really box him smart, like we saw in the last fight, but me and Sean still felt like he won the fight. And Shakur.
Don't say me and Sean, me and Ant.
No. Me and you said that T.O. won the fight. Ant said that he lost the fight.
I never said he won the fight. Please.
T.O.?
Yeah.
We was talking about it at the fight. You said you had him winning.
Never said I had him winning.
I pull up the text messages. We was talking through the whole fight, round by round. You said you had him winning.
I might have been talking to you thinking I was talking to somebody else.
What? No, I definitely,
You know, or the very funny part is I might have been talking about Jermaine and you might have been thinking I was talking about T.O.
That happens.
I just felt like, that fight's old, but I feel like Shakur has the most talent out of the four.
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, we just don't know. It's unfortunate that we're judging him off of one fight.
Yeah.
But it's just like sometimes he don't want to engage. He seems like he's afraid to take a shot. And when he fight those guys, he's going to have to, I feel like he'll engage more against Haney. I think he's going to like really be on the defense against Tank.
Yeah. I think he needs to just, I think he had a moment where he could have accepted a real low ball from Haney.
Yeah,
you got to accept that just to get in there, just to play ball.
It was 25%, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's something crazy, but you just got to get in there. Nah, when they holding you out like this, because you're getting blackballed damn near.
25%, I think he should have tried to negotiate the 30.
Yeah.
He might have negotiated the 30, and that would have been fine. If you calling this dude out, and you want it so bad, go ahead and take that risk. What was, Sean, what was the split when Mayweather fought De La Hoya?
No clue. But I know Floyd was on the bottom half of that.
Yeah, I know he was too, but I want to know how low was it. But I don't know. We know that he took that fight because he knew it was going to change his life.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I felt like he's definitely sure when that it was like a week window maybe.
Yeah.
And I feel like he missed that window of fighting Haney, and it was just hasn't really sparked his career since that.
I feel like that's a part of the game that needs to change. You know, when you can give these fighters all of the business, like with Shakur having to make a decision whether or not he's going to fight Haney and the percentage split and all that, you got to break it all the way down to the fighter and show him what's in front of him and allow him to make the decision. Yeah. Instead of just saying, nah, that's a low number, we can't do it. Like, tell me exactly what I'm giving up.
What can we do after this?
And tell me what can happen after this. Yeah. Don't just straight up make the decision because it doesn't make sense for you. Something like that. I think people need to start breaking it all the way down to these fighters and letting these fighters see what's in front of me now and what's beyond me later. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, again, man, we all being a little too safe in this ring.
And if you take 25% and it's still your highest payday, then, you know, you got to make it make sense, man.
And then you make everybody come to you, especially if you are who you say you are, you think you are, you know you're going to win, then you make everybody come to you. That used to be the conversation. We win the belts, and then we win the belt, then we control the game.
Yeah,
that used to be the conversation. That definitely was. I'm that generation where we just gotta get a belt. Once I get the belt, then I control the conversation. You know what I mean? And so fighters gotta get back to that real quick. Hey, give us your thoughts on Canelo versus Munguia. I gotta imagine you're not too happy about him not fighting David Benavidez, but you know, give us your thoughts.
I want to say I don't want to see it, but I do want to see it. Because Jaime Munguia is not a chump. He had a great performance against John Ryder, who gave Canelo a little bit of problems. He went the distance. It was it wasn't like a shutout, but that's not who we want to see. And if this was the fight before the fight, then I would say, all right, cool. But I don't think he's going to fight David Benavidez at all. I don't think he's going to fight him.
I don't either.
Man.
I'm on record, you know? I'm on record.
It's funny because it's like, I'm trying not to accept that it's not going to happen. But every month move by in boxing is like, well, you probably fight Berlanga next. It's like, bro, you moving farther and farther away from Dave Benavidez. Then David say, I'm going to cruise, to 175. Mm-hmm. It's just Munguia fight. Go ahead.
He should go to 175 because there's some great talent up there with Bivol and
Berdabiev.
Yeah.
I was going to say the timing for two fighters right now that I feel has not been fruitful for the timing for Boots Ennis and the timing for David Benavidez. Mm. Both of these guys have come around where they're such athletically gifted and talented and juggernauts in their weight class that we really won't see them challenged against anyone. And almost for the sake of, it'll be like, kind of like, he was here, but who did he do it against? It's nobody for him to do it against. There's nobody that's really, Benavidez has run out of options. He's mollywopped everybody he's been in the ring with. And now going up to 175, I think we'll see true competition at 175, but his natural, his weight class, 168, where I think a bulk of his career should and could be, there's nothing else there. And on top of that, the names that he fought, when he fought them, they're, to the world, they're not big names. To the boxing world, we're like, yo, that dude fast. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's Caleb Plant, it's Anthony Durrell, and, you know, and Bubba Andre. And he made it look like nothing against all three of those guys, man.
Yeah. Well,
and we already know about Boots.
So Boots, here, this is how I feel about Boots. I feel like Canelo's ducking Benavidez. I don't think Crawford is ducking Boots. I think Crawford wants to move up in weight, which he should. And Boots is just going to have to wait for those guys at 140 to come up if he's going to stay there that long.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of competition. I mean, Devin Haney can come up. Teal, all those guys can come up, and those will be some big fights for him. It's just, is he going to stay there long enough? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I say he should. He should go ahead and rule that division for, you know, a nice 5 years and wait for some competition to come up, because who's at 154? I mean, he can go up and fight Zoo or somebody like that.
You got Spence, Charlo. Maybe.
Yeah, Charlo. But Charlo's done.
Yeah, Spence.
And I think Crawford, I think he might skip 154 altogether.
Yeah. I think Crawford is building his way to a Canelo fight. That's what clearly, I think.
If that fight is true about him fighting Conor Benn.
Chris Eubanks.
Chris, I'm sorry. You good? Chris Eubanks Jr., yeah.
Oh, so he went from...
Yeah.
He went from fighting...
Who?
The one young kid to fight another UK guy?
Who? Terrence?
Conor Benn. Terrence went from fighting Conor Benn to now fighting...
Oh, Conor Benn was a...
Well, no, that Connor, was a mistake.
He was a mistake. Conor Benn's fighting somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Terrence talking about fighting Chris Eubanks at 160.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that's building his way up to fight, get the Canelo fight.
Yeah.
It's a solid fight for him to go up and wait.
Yeah.
I think he'll win, probably knock him out, and then he'll go one more weight class to fight Canelo. But I think Canelo might fight Jamal Charlo in September after this fight.
That sound about right. If that happens, you got to get Charlo back in the ring. You got to get him back in the ring before summer, and he got to look like a true threat. If he doesn't look like a threat, nobody's going to want to see it. I think I'm on record. I felt like it was going to be both Charlos, and then we wasn't going to get Benavidez. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's really what Canelo's aiming for. Fighters that he's going to look good against, fighters that he's going to make money against, and fighters with good records that but aren't going to pose the truest threat to him. And Benavidez is just that.
Do you think Munguia has a chance?
No, I think Munguia is going to get knocked out in about 6 or 7 rounds.
Munguia lacks defense.
Lacks defense.
But he's young.
Too young. And I'll say this, and then we'll probably wrap up with this. I feel like, you know, a lot of people have been saying this ever since Canelo fought Mayweather. He's taking pages out of Mayweather's book. We can see him moving now. We see a little shoulder roll here and there. We see more speed from him. All these other things that's in the ring. And then outside of the ring, we can see him taking pages out of Mayweather's book in terms of how he's orchestrating his career, who he's picking to fight, where he's picking to fight him, and the list goes on. And really, I think he chose to he didn't pick Benavidez soon enough. He should have picked Benavidez 4 or 5 years ago. Got him out of the way. It's too late now.
Yeah.
Just like Mayweather did him. So.
Well, Mayweather was, they said Canelo wasn't ready after he got, you know, washed.
Yeah,
so you should have got him early, like he should have got Benavidez early, like Mayweather got.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. He should have got Benavidez 4 or 5 years ago, at least. Mm-hmm. The way Mayweather got Canelo,
he wasn't at 168 yet, though.
Should have went up to 68. Floyd had enough wherewithal to know who was coming.
154.
But to know who was coming and when they were coming, you know, and so he knocked Canelo off the horse. Well before he became who he became.
Yeah. I saw your take on Mayweather not being able to beat Tommy Hearns.
Man, I it's hard to see Mayweather beating Tommy. Especially like money Mayweather. Tommy is not the kind of guy that you can allow to come in on you.
That's a lot.
That's a lot coming in on you. So what'd you think about that?
I didn't agree.
Okay.
I don't think anybody could beat Mayweather of any generation.
Woo!
I don't think he can be beat because just off the IQ.
Listen, man. Hey, listen. Now, we saw what an older Shane Mosley did. What about a younger Shane Mosley?
What about younger Floyd?
Younger Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, I hate when people say that. I hate when people say that about Manny. Okay, Floyd goes back and whoop Manny's ass too. He might stop Manny.
Yeah, so...
Younger Floyd might,
Shane Mosley always been an out of control fighter, right? He had power and speed. He was good, but you see the way Vernon Forrest whipped his ass twice
yeah.
in his prime.
Yeah.
in his prime and really whipped his ass.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, Mosley got that one punch. And they said it. If you watch the 24/7, what's his trainer name?
Naeem Richardson.
Nazim.
I mixed his name together.
Yeah, he said Mosley gonna come out and he gonna hit him hard. He gonna put that pressure on him. And then I think Mayweather gonna grow fangs and then he gonna fight back. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Yep.
And if Floyd would have, you know, once some hands got real bad, he wasn't pressuring nobody. Everything was, you know, pot shot. He gonna catch you with a 1-2 here and there. He gonna make you look stupid. And that's what he did. They said Shane had Jericho juice on his back after that fight from all those those jabs he was taking.
Oh man.
Hey, one quick one before y'all get out of here. I know y'all saying have Boots waited out for the young guys to come up. That could be a 3 to 5 year wait. Boots is a big 147. So now I'm saying go to 154 because I got Charlo, Spence, Castano, Thurman, Lubin, Tim, Fandora, Mendoza, and Ramos.
There's a lot in there.
That's money. Go get money.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think a great comeback fight for Errol Spence would be against Boots at 154.
Damn, why you going to... He got to gain confidence.
Who, Errol Spence?
Yes. He don't got the confidence right now.
He should take a bum on his first fight back?
Yeah. Let somebody beat you like that.
You know what? He may not... You think he going to fight again?
Damn, yes. You don't think Errol fighting again?
I don't know.
Damn. I didn't, but I think I just saw like a clip of him training not too long ago.
Oh, it was a point that Sean Porter thought Errol Spence was done?
Yeah, absolutely.
Damn.
Absolutely. And for reasons beyond, so like with Charlo, my thing with Jermell Charlo is you fought so bad that nobody wants to see you again. The thing with Errol is your health, like, I hate to put a percentage on it, and it's like, if your health ain't 100%, you shouldn't be in the ring, but you know what I mean? Like, how bad is your health? And that was my reason.
After that beating?
After the fight, okay? After the fight, on top of a car wreck that was just unreal.
Hey, on top of, let's not remember, the first time he ever took punishment was against you.
Yeah.
I've never even seen Earl damaged. I'm like, how the hell has Sean got a knot on his eye?
I don't think he's there psychologically. I think he can come back physically. I think psychologically he may be damaged too much to really compete again. We'll see. He'll probably test himself to fight one more fight again and see how he feels. And after that, then maybe the confidence will grow, like you said. But who does he fight? Is this the time where you fight Keith Thurman finally?
Yeah, I know. When you lose like that, I could never watch my fight like that.
That's a lot like that right there, Thurman and Spence fighting, is a lot like when Bernard and Roy finally had their rematch years and years later. Oh. It made sense for them, and we're gonna pay for it. But it really, in retrospect, it won't make a lot of sense, like for the business of the accolades and who's conquering the division and all that. But that fight will actually still make sense for them, and I think it could make sense for the boxing world as well, in some ways.
If Keith beats Tim Tszyu, then you know that could be a rebirth of his career if he wants to become active again.
100%.
100%. That's a big if. You don't know.
Listen, everybody said I'll be booting our guest off, and I hate doing that. But a lot like Cam, man, you got your daughter waiting on you. You just got home. I got to let you go, big dog, but I want to thank you for joining the podcast yet again and cooling with us much longer than usual.
Always, bro. I'll get up with y'all soon.
Have all a good one, man. Send me that song, too.
All right.
Okay.
No. I'll let you listen to it.
All right, now.
All right, now.
Let's get out of here, man. I hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Appreciate Nod for coming on. Listen, man, that's one of a lot of comedians we could have on the show.
Yeah.
We had Scruncher in here last week. We've had comedian Pierre on the show. Earthquake. We got Earthquake on the show. We're going to keep rolling them in, these actors, these comedians, these sports stars. Just letting y'all, I want to show y'all how far boxing reaches. I'm sure you guys should know by now, but yeah, we definitely got, they come in, we gotta make sure we got them, get them on the show when they come in. But well, thank you guys for always tuning in to the podcast. Join our Patreon, subscribe, patreon.com/TPWP. There's an app, download the app, TPWP. There's a tier on there for you. Don't want you guys to miss what's coming on. And now we're going to do a watch back of my fight against Danny Garcia. Hopefully this coming week, and it'll be on there. As Ant said, there's much more that we can narrate that you guys aren't privy to. So the only way you can see that is on the Patreon. Don't want you to miss all of the good stuff we got coming to the Patreon. I want to shout out Game Changers Sports Academy. I'm up there on Saturdays. We'll make sure we put the address in there. You got a son, you want to do it yourself, got a daughter, anybody who wants to train, come on in. I'm training, just giving what was given to me. It's like I like to say, bringing a taste of Cleveland to Las Vegas. And I'm doing that on the weekends. They're also in there Tuesdays and Thursdays, 4 o'clock p.m. I come in there on Tuesdays and Thursdays as well. So I want you guys to just keep tuning in, keep checking us out. And when y'all in Vegas, try to find us.
And
find
I think
him, you won't be able to find him.
Yeah, it's $125 a month to go up there and train.
Okay.
Hey, if you're in Vegas, you got a kid, I got 2 months on your kid free.
There you go.
On Ant.
There you go. Love that.
Hey,
appreciate you, big dog, for always giving back.
Yeah, no problem. Just hit me up. Hit my DM. It's on Instagram, Ant with 2 T's, 702. Just hit me up, whatever. Go down there. Go talk to Sean. Tell Sean I'm here for Ant sponsorship, and I got you.
Hey, listen.
And it better be a kid. I ain't sponsoring no grown-ass man. Okay?
Hey, somebody gonna bring twins. Yeah.
Man, if you got twins, don't bring a bunch of kids, man. This is for one kid. Yeah. There's so much stuff you gotta say and stuff like this.
Right. Listen, motivational message before we get out of here. I had an opportunity to hang out with someone who I now consider to be a mentor of mine about 50 years in the acting game. Oba Babatunde. You guys, if you don't recognize the name, type that in and search him up, man. Look at his catalog. Long as heck. I've had an opportunity to make a lot of friends, and I consider him to be a great friend. We had lunch the other day, and he gave this to me. I'm giving it to y'all for free. And I may or may not go into it. Listen, he said, it's not how long you've been alive. It's how long you've been paying attention. And when he said that to me, I said, man, I've been paying attention for a long time. I pay attention to everything. So I'm just using that to say this, man. Pay attention to everything. I know the last time you were in here, we talked about being aware. This week, we're talking about paying attention. It ain't about how old you are. It ain't about you being a father. It ain't about you being a sister, anything like that. It ain't about what you got. It's about how long you've been paying attention. If you've been paying attention and you've been really been watching, you've been learning. And if you've been learning, that means you're living a good, successful life. If you ain't successful, if you're struggling, just start paying attention. All right? It ain't about how old you are. It's about how long you've been paying attention. This is the Port Away.
Stay blessed.